This is McGuire on the Wire, brought to you by McGuire Sponsel. We are a national consulting firm aiming to provide facts, advice, and updates on the ever-changing world of tax law. This podcast will give you base-level information as well as high-level thought leadership on how to navigate these technical disciplines. At McGuire Sponsel, we provide unique services to our clients using an old-school, hands-on approach that is deeply respected within the CPA industry. Now stick around and listen to one of our experts. We're glad you're here.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. Today I want to talk about the 179 Cap D energy efficient building deduction. So 179D is something that's been around since the Energy Policy Act of 2005. Energy Policy Act of 2005 was issued to with a lot of fanfare as a way to create some energy policies that would really spur growth in energy efficiency and other areas. And as part of that, the 179D tax deduction was created. 179D tax deduction is also known as the Energy Efficient Commercial Building Deduction, was a temporary measure put in the tax code. And because it was temporary, it kind of got lumped in with this thing that we hear about all the time is tax extenders. And so those tax extenders, sometimes they're around, sometimes they're not. And what happened with 179D is it dropped off at the end of 2017 for any building placed in service after 12/31/17. So basically at the end of 2017, right around the time we got the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, 179D went away. And we no longer had it. And we've been kind of sitting in limbo for the last 2 years until late 2019, when Congress pulled back in tax extenders and retroactively passed a number of tax extenders. And 179D was one of these. Now it's still in a temporary provision, but what that tax extender bill did is it extended it and made it the law for 2018, 2019, and 2020. And so this allows now building owners, accountants, and also in certain cases, engineers and architects to look at this important deduction again, where we haven't been able to in a few years. So I just want to explain why we're talking about it. Now let's talk about what 179D is. 179D is also, like as I mentioned earlier, it's also known as the energy efficient commercial building deduction. Is a deduction of up to $1.80 a square foot for the installation of energy efficient systems into buildings. And it's split into three areas: the lighting system, the HVAC system, and the building envelope. And there's two different ways of looking at it. One is to look at it as $1.80 a square foot across the entire building if you meet certain standards, and I'll get into what those standards are, or you can get a partial deduction for any one of those three systems. So if I own a building and I replace just the lights, most likely I'm just going to take the lighting deduction, which is up to 60 cents a square foot. Or if I build an entirely new building that's energy efficient, or I do a large scale renovation where I add insulation to the walls of the building, maybe I replace the roof, I put new HVAC systems on, I put new lights in, then potentially I'm looking at $1.80 a square foot in deductions. So to kind of give some math to that, when we're talking about, let's say we've got a taxpayer with a 100,000 square foot warehouse, the maximum potential deduction is $1.80 a square foot. Now we take that and let's just say that we're at a 30% tax rate. When we're at a 30% tax rate, we're really looking at potential savings that first year of $53,000. It's $53,250 at a 30% tax rate. Now, some people might say, wait, isn't $1.80 a square foot times 100,000 square foot $180,000, which it is? They say 180,000 times 30%, that's 54,000, not 53,000 and change. And the reason it's $53,000 and change is you reduce your basis in your building by the amount of your deduction, so you lose a little bit of 39-year depreciation. So that's the difference between those numbers. Now, because of that, it's a timing difference. So it's a net present value. So we have to present value that the benefit of that deduction. So we're taking that $180,000 in deductions that would have been depreciated over 39 years. We're moving it into 1 year. So the net present value of that is about $34,000 on a 100,000 square foot warehouse, which is pretty significant. Now think about that on a warehouse. What's one of the largest energy consumption things in a warehouse? That's the lighting system. You might have a warehouse that you've been occupying a few years and you go to replace the lights. Although I said it's split across multiple different systems, it might just be that the lights are enough to actually maximize that and allow you to take the full $1.80 a square foot. Now, okay, how is that calculated? Let's actually look at the deduction. Well, what the 179D requires is that you have an energy saving as compared to the ASHRAE 90.1-2007 standards. So the American Society of Heating and Air Conditioning Engineers 2007 standards. And it says that in order to get the $1.80 a square foot, we need to show a reduction in energy consumption of 50% as compared to the standards. So that's looks like a pretty big number at first glance, but like I said earlier, this has been a kind of a temporary thing, and it's in these tax extenders. One of the benefits of it being in the tax extenders, the tax extenders, is that they haven't changed the standard that we've been going off of. So that means that that 2007 standard, a lot of building codes have caught up with that standard. So that 50% reduction on a new building is really not that big a hurdle to hit anymore. Now, additionally, let's just say I don't have enough to get the full 50% reduction. There are partial deductions for lighting, HVAC, and a building envelope. If I see on the lighting system a 25% reduction, HVAC a 15% reduction, or on the building envelope a 10% reduction in the energy consumption as compared to the building standard, then I can take a deduction in those areas of 60 cents a square foot per area that meets the criteria. And there's also a partial, what's known as the interim lighting rule, which is a easier calculation than that for lighting systems alone. So there's a number of different ways we can look at this. And what it means is most people that are doing something to their buildings in 2018, 2019, or 2020 should be eligible for this deduction. Now, that's all well and good, and people are probably sitting here and saying, okay, Dave, what's the catch? Well, the catch is it's not just as easy as putting down a deduction on paper. It's not just as easy as going in and saying, okay, I got my electric bill last year, and my electric bill was $1,000 a month. I put in some improvements. Now my electric bill is $400 a month, so I reduce that by 60%. Shouldn't I get the deduction? And you would think that that would be the way the IRS went about this, but it's not. The way this is done is it's an energy consumption comparison between the designed energy consumption of the building and a building standard. So what that means is we actually have to put the building into a computer model and model out what the potential energy consumption of the building is and compare that to a standard building. So it requires an engineering study to be done on the building. Furthermore, in order to take the deduction, the IRS requires that the building be certified to meet the criteria and have the systems in place, and that certification has to be done by an independent contractor or engineer licensed in the jurisdiction which the building is placed in service. Now, that means that obviously, engineers and contractors are typically licensed on a local basis. Let's just talk about engineering right now because contracting can sometimes be done on even more local, but engineering is typically done on the state level. So someone that's licensed in the state of California may not be licensed in the state of Arizona or vice versa. So it's important that we look at this. Furthermore, when I said that, I've said independent engineer. And in the rules, it specifically states that the engineer or contractor certifying the building cannot be related to the person that is actually using the deduction. So that means if I own the building and I happen to be an engineer, or if I constructed the building and I happen to be an engineer, I can't go in and certify that building. It can't be certified. It has to be done by a third party. So that's kind of the catch. When I say that there's a catch associated with that, that's the catch. And that's really where companies like McGuire Sponsel and other places come into play, is we help people navigate that. So like I said, in order to take this deduction, an engineering study has to be done. That engineering study is done, then the person can take the deduction. Now what happens with the deduction is the deduction is a reduction in basis, and it's an acceleration of the basis into the current year. So let's take that 100,000 square foot warehouse I mentioned earlier. And let's say I replace the lights in the HVAC, and now I have a 50% energy savings as compared to the building standards. So I'm very happy I get to take this $1.80 a square foot in deductions, or on my 100,000 square foot warehouse, $180,000. But let's say my construction project, in order to install those new lights and that new HVAC, only cost me $100,000. Well, since the 179D deduction is a reduction in basis, I'm capped at $1.80 a square foot or the basis in the improvements, whichever is lower. So in that case, in the case where those improvements only cost me $100,000, but I'm due up to $180,000 in deductions, I would be limited to $100,000. So that's something that we need to look at. Now, had those improvements cost me $300,000, I would take my deduction of $180,000, reduce my basis on my $300,000 of improvements by $180,000, and I would capitalize the additional $120,000. And so there's a number of things that we need to look at, but it's very critical that this is a very beneficial thing. Now, some people are probably listening to this and going, wait a second, isn't there some type of designer deduction as well? And that's what we want to talk about next. What Congress and the IRS realized when they put this law together is that this was all well and good for somebody that was a big property owner, because it reduced the cost of energy efficient systems in a building. But they said, well, one of the biggest property owners in the US are government agencies. How do government agencies reduce the cost of the energy efficient improvements to their buildings? And what they did is they actually added a clause in the law that said property, the government, either state, local, or federal governments or political subdivisions thereof, can transfer the deduction from the government agency to the person or persons, you can split it, primarily responsible for the energy efficient design. Now, it does specifically say that a designer is someone who's writing technical specifications, doing some other things, not just somebody that's installing it. So typically, I'm sorry to say, contractors typically don't get this deduction. It's typically for architects and engineers involved in the design of the system. They can but in those situations, the government agency can transfer that deduction to them. So what you do is you do the whole certification criteria that I mentioned earlier, where you have an engineer run a building model, you have that engineer actually tour the facility, make sure those assets are placed in service, and then there's a transfer letter that's created, and the government agency transfers it over. So let's just take an example of an architecture firm that's involved in designing upgrades for high schools. High schools are typically owned on the state or local level, so they're owned by governments. And let's say that high school that they just designed that was built in 2019 is 200,000 square feet. So we can run the analysis. If that high school, it's 200,000 square feet, gets $1.80 a square foot, that's $360,000 in deductions. The architecture firm can then go to the school and have them transfer that deduction back to the architecture firm. The architecture firm would get the deduction of $360,000 because the architecture firm doesn't have any basis. There's no offsetting basis for the architecture firm. It's no longer a timing thing. It's a permanent tax savings. And that can be very significant for architecture and engineering firms that have a large amount of square footage that they're dealing with. So there is a very big thing there that it is critical that people look at. Now, one thing that I did kind of mention there is it's when the building was placed in service. So that's the only thing that architecture firms and engineering firms need to look at, is often they're doing things 2 to 3 years in advance. So this might be when we're talking about something that now is retroactive to 2018, 2019, and 2020. If we're looking at a 2018 return, it might be a design that that architecture firm actually was working on in 2015 or 2016, and we're making these deductions and accelerating them into the 2018 return because that's when the building actually got placed in service. So that's something else we need to look at. But it is very critical that people look at this because it can be a pretty major portion of their tax planning. Now, how is this taken? We obviously, 2018, we filed the tax returns. So what do? Well, if we're talking about the owner deduction, so I own the building, I want to take the deduction, typically a 3115 is filed, or a change in accounting method. Now, if I'm talking about the designer deduction, so I'm an architecture firm, and the school system transferred the deduction back to me, that would be done through an amended return. So obviously, this is something that it's a very complicated area of tax code, but it can be very beneficial to taxpayers, especially ones with a large amount of real estate or potentially architects or engineers that do a lot of work with government-owned property. And so it's something that we want to make sure that we're looking at and we're talking to taxpayers about in the next year or so, especially right now, since this was just recently extended. It's something that's critical that people keep in mind and keep looking at as we're going through tax season right now. So if you have any questions about it, obviously my name is David McGuire. Our website's mcguiresponsible.com. My contact information is right there on the website, both my direct phone number, my cell phone number, my email address, they're all on the website. Feel free to reach out to us if you have any questions. We're more than happy to walk through specific projects. There's no charge for us running any type of analysis. But this is something that's critical, whether you're using us or somebody else, that people look at and make sure they're having those conversations. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Thanks so much for listening to McGuire on the Wire. Have a question from today's episode or interested in our team covering another topic? Reach out to us at McGuire on the Wire at McGuiresponsible.com.